The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, are you with me? How are you this afternoon?
I'm always with you. If not in person, then always in spirit.
Okay, now listen, let's be fair. We are crossing a little bit early today and you were given no prior warning. So yeah, shot on you is all I can say.
Well, you know, I just live in anticipation of our crossover and I do like to be prepared. So prepared I am.
Okay.
I did learn from the scouts that apparently you should always be prepared. So here I am, prepared.
Okay. So, as we do every day, we found out the stats on COVID in Israel. What's going on? Better, worse? Where are we?
We have more infections, but we're still holding as far as, serious cases and ventilators are concerned. But, you know, somebody posed an interesting question to me earlier. Is it responsible to post or to talk about Israel's COVID stats? You know, maybe people could be plotting something, you know, more nefarious against us. And I thought it was an interesting observation, but I don't think that people would be plotting anything nefarious because of COVID stats. But here we go. Since the start of the pandemic, 18,049, 298 fatalities. At the moment, there are 2,654 people infected. Of those, 29 are serious and 23 are on ventilators. And fully recovered is at 15,131. The Knesset spoke, or rather Netanyahu spoke a couple of weeks ago saying, you know, if we continue on this good trajectory, more restrictions will be lifted. However, if we see that infections go up, you know, we might walk it back. So at the moment, they're not going to lift any more restrictions because of the spike in infections. However, you know, we didn't anticipate this. People are mixing more. There are more tests being done. Some naughty people are not wearing their masks. Wear your masks, people. You ruin it for the rest of us. But, the trains that were supposed to open yesterday didn't open. Some of the schools that have been shuttered will, start to open this week. So that is a good thing. And the government have said, you know, until we see a significant drop again in the rate of infections, we're going to just put a hold on lifting more restrictions. Also interesting today was that another shipment of PPE, that's personal protection equipment, arrived from the United Arab Emirates for the Palestinians. Now, because we had a little bit of a brouhaha the last time that this happened, the Palestinian Authority refusing to accept it, saying that nobody had consulted with them, they weren't part of the coordination, and I think also taking a lot of international criticism for their reluctance to put the needs of their people before their political posturing. So right now, another consignment has come in. That consignment is currently in Ashdod. And we don't know if the Palestinian Authority were involved this time around or if they will accept it. But, you know, one thing we know is that both in the West Bank and Gaza, they've managed to contain. There's only been a few infections and only like really a couple of deaths. But, you know, we want to make sure that we do whatever possible to ensure the safety of people in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip. So it remains to be seen who, if anybody, is going to accept this PPE, but it does look likely that, you know, if it's not accepted in the Palestinian Authority, it might just only go to Gaza.
It's just really interesting, Rolene, because that story of all stories that we've spoken about today has had the most traction in terms of responses from listeners. That seems to be a story that people are very interested in, and people not understanding why on earth would a second load be coming when the first load wasn't picked up. But I suppose you've explained it. Maybe they've coordinated this time. I don't know.
Well, the first load was eventually taken by the World Health Organization and by the United Nations with the aim of distributing it. So hopefully that did happen. Okay. And it was distributed. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're all involved in a global war against this virus that has claimed so many lives and has made so many people incredibly sick. And of course, we're looking at the economic fallout, the emotional, mental health fallout, with regards to this. Just put your needs of your citizens above all else.
Hear you loud and clear. Rolene, the next issue you want to talk about is really very interesting to me. I think it's probably fair to say that in the last 20 years, the relationship between Jordan and Israel has never been at such a low point.
It is at a low point. Over the last couple of years, it really has, I won't say deteriorated, but it has had significant issues crop up. We had the issue with the embassy and the recalling of ambassadors, and now with the anticipated annexation or possible annexation, we've heard from King Abdullah. He's the leader of Jordan. Jordan's a monarchy. It's not a constitutional monarchy. It's just a monarchy. King Abdullah is the leader of the Jordanian people, and he has threatened a few times. He said, any kind of annexation could result in a lot of violence, or it could result in a significant amount of tension. And he's also saying that it could put the peace treaty, which is a real point of pride, I think, not just for Israel, but for the Jordanians, for the region as well, because, we often say that if peace is possible between Egypt and Israel and Jordan and Israel, then we have the possibility of peace with other countries and Israel. And he has said that this could possibly put that peace treaty at risk. So it looks like our new defense minister, Benny Gantz, who's also our alternate prime minister and also the chairman of the Blue and White. And if we're looking for another title to add to him, the former Ramat Kalo, chief of staff of the IDF, he could possibly be visiting Jordan to try and diffuse tensions, to try and speak to the leader of Jordan, King Abdullah, to try and look at ways that we could do this peacefully if it is going to go ahead, and also very important that we want to avoid as much tension with our neighbor as possible.
I want to stay on this Jordanian issue for just a moment, Rolene, because let's be honest, it's not a strong economy. In fact, it's probably fair to say that the economy is faltering. They have massive issues with religious and secular, and they're probably feeling hugely threatened by Israel and the ascendancy of the right wing, and the probably unstated but probably the desire amongst many on the right that Jordan is Palestine. They're probably feeling hugely threatened by current international dynamics and circumstances.
Well, I would imagine they're feeling very uncertain. They're feeling very threatened. Those who are critical of the possible annexation have also opined that at this juncture, when we are facing economic chaos around the world, including here in the Middle East, and Israel has probably the strongest economy in our immediate neighborhood, it is enough to make them feel threatened, but do we really need this now? Because it's going to put a massive economic burden, on the Jordanians, on Israel as well. How do we proceed from there? There's all these issues to be taken into consideration. Sometimes we have to suspend ideological, leanings and look at the practicalities on the ground. And, nobody anticipated COVID-19 popping up, this year, and it has, and look at the consequences. So I think they're feeling threatened on a number of fronts. And also it's very important for King Abdullah to maintain the support of the street. So he's going to want to use, I don't want to say aggressive kind of language, but he's going to want to use a no-nonsense tactic with the Israelis to try and maintain an aura of authority, at least.
Okay, well, you'll keep us updated about that because that really is important. The last topic you wanted to speak about today was Argentina adopting International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition. What definition would that be? Definition on anti-Semitism or, sorry, that's just missing from my note.
It's the definition of anti-Semitism, and this is very, very significant. First of all, Argentina becomes the first South American country to adopt IRA. They follow in the footsteps of Serbia, who adopted the IRA definition last week. It's very, very important because anti-Semitism is also rearing its ugly head around the world, especially now during the COVID-19 crisis. And it is a very, very volatile issue that, you know, with the event in the United States is also starting to come into the fray. And also, South America doesn't have the greatest history with regards to fighting anti-Semitism. You know, we can't forget the 1994 bombing in Buenos Aires. But sure. Basically, the IRA definition says anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews, rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism that are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and their property, towards Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. It also states that, you know, while criticism of Israel or Israeli politics or policies is legitimate and democratic, denying the right of Israel to exist is anti-Semitic, as is denying Jews the right to a national liberation movement called Zionism.
Rolien Marks, 5:30. Thank you as always. Nitra Machar.
Ad Machar, and God bless.